Well, with the choir offering a Thanksgiving cantata, we got Thanksgiving this week, and with this being the day that a lot of our members are turning in their giving intent forms, I decided not to preach on the gospel that was assigned for today. It's about end times, and that doesn't fit with what we've got going on here today. But I do have a gospel reading I'm going to share with you in a little bit in my message. So we had our monthly finance meeting this last week, and I've got to say it wasn't exactly a bubbles and sunshine sort of meeting. Things are tight right now, I would say, at Living Waters. So we're significantly, I guess, a little behind our budget and where we need to be this time of the year, and this coming at a time when we're also looking at putting together a budget for next year. So naturally, much of the conversation in this meeting had to do with giving and what motivates people to give. Just to share with you, statistically here at Living Waters, we have about one-third of our membership who support two-thirds of our budget. And then we have another third of our membership who support that last third of our budget. And then we have about one-third of our membership who, what we can track, don't offer an ongoing financial support of Living Waters. So the problem isn't that our budget's, you know, too fluffy. It isn't that we're crazy, wild, over-the-top spending. The challenge is we have room to grow in our giving. And let me be the first to admit, my giving this last year at Living Waters has been lackluster at best. I am a complete hypocrite to be standing here talking about this with you when personally we're doing kind of a poor job at offering financial support to Living Waters this year. And of course, we rationalize, well, you know, we've been hit with a ton of medical expenses that we did not see coming this last year, and we're now taking over payments of our son's student loan, and things are tight. Things are tight. I say to myself as I sip on my $4.37 Northern Light mocha latte that I had at the Caribou while writing this sermon, you know, I didn't blink an eye to spend that $5. Whoop, there it went. $5. How easy it is to spend. Let's see, I do have this on. Maybe I don't. There we go. Well, there we go. Or is that you? I don't know. When I point, you hit. Anyway, yeah, because that graphic was so important for this. All right, well, anyway, $5, it is easy to spend $5, you know? And so I gave this a little thought, and I did a little calculation. And if every household in this congregation gave $5 a week extra, just, you know, an additional $5 more than what they give now, our budget would increase by $92,000. That would be enough to hire a youth worker, which we would love to do, and to repair the roof and to continue to grow in our mission to reach, teach, and care. $5. So why do people give? What motivates people to give? Well, back in the old days, when I was just a kid, my parents gave very regularly. I remember my mother writing bills, and every then monthly she would write that check to the church, and she would do it because that's just what you're supposed to do. And so giving was kind of out of a sense of obligation, duty. Over the years of being a pastor, I've even heard some people say it's paying their dues. I remember one day when I was in Cloquet, I had a man come in my office, and he put a W-2 form on my desk of his income tax report, his last income tax, and I was a little befuddled, but he explained to me that he was Mormon. And in the Mormon church, you're required to give tithe 10% of your gross adjusted income. And not only that, but you are also supposed to provide proof to the church that what you're giving is truly what you're supposed to be giving. Well, because there was no Mormon church in Cloquet, and a couple of his daughters were involved in our youth program, he decided to give us that offering. And as you can imagine, I didn't put up too much of a fuss. Now, as nice and sunshiny as having that sort of requirement of members here, how that would make kind of our financial meeting so much nicer. I have to say that giving for out of a sense of obligation or duty or requirement isn't the best motivating factor for giving. And so you don't have to worry about that one. We're not going to ask you to bring in your income tax reports to me. Now, closely related to giving out of obligation is giving out of doing your fair share. So it's kind of a family thing. Chris and I have four children, and back when they were all under roof, they all had to do their fair share of chores around the house. Now, if you are visiting us, you're going to stay for the weekend, you're our guests. We're not going to make you do the dishes or, you know, take the garbage out on your way out. No. But move in, become a regular at the dinner table, take up residence in one of our bedrooms, and we'll be happy to have you share in the work of the house. Well, the church is very much like a family, and those same principles of shared responsibility apply here as well. At one of the churches my wife and I visited this summer when I was on sabbatical, when it came to the offering, the pastor stood up and he said, "Now, if you're visiting us this morning, you just let that offering plate pass you by. But if you are a regular attender around here, well, then feel free to support the ministry that we share." I think giving out of a sense of shared responsibility is slightly better motivator than giving out of obligation. But you know what? I still think we can do better than that. If we want to look at why people should give, we could turn to the Bible, makes some sense. And in here, there's a rather glaring motivator to our giving. Namely, it's all God's anyway. If we turn to the Bible, we can see, like in Psalm 24, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." Everything. Everything belongs to God. Your house, your cabin up north, your retirement savings account, all of it. Everything belongs to God, and we are merely the managers, the stewards of what is actually God's property. Now, I'm just guessing here. We probably forget that little fact from time to time. I certainly do. It's pretty easy to slip into a me, mine kind of mindset. You know, my property, my stuff, my hard-earned income. But what if we really believed that all of that belonged to God? And what if we actually believed that? Would we accumulate it, save it, give it away any differently than we do now? So one of the gospel readings that I thought of that would work for today comes from Luke chapter 11. Jesus said, "Take care, be on guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And then he told them this parable. "The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, 'What should I do? For I have no place to store all my crops.' Then he said, 'I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many, many years, so eat, drink, relax, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life is being demanded of you, and these things you have prepared, whose will they be?'" I've traveled through India and Nepal, Tanzania and Haiti, and I can tell you with a fair degree of confidence that we are a land of bigger barns. In the tiny village of Tungamalinga, in the heart of Tanzania, everyone's hut looks about the same. There are no big barns there. Everything is shared in this village. Everything. It's truly remarkable the lack of me and mine there is in the mindset of this little village in Tanzania. It's all about we and us and ours. Now, the man in the parable that I just read, did you hear his mindset? First of all, he's talking to himself, which should be kind of an indicator right there. And he says to his own soul, "Soul, you have got it made. You've got it good. You've laid up all sorts of treasures for yourself, and now you can just sit back and eat and drink and be merry, live it up." relax. I think there's a little truth that we can find between that story and the village of Tungamalinga, and that is the more you have, the more we accumulate, the more our vision turns inward. All that prosperity that the man was enjoying, thinking it was his, solely his, and God says to him, "You fool. All these treasures you've stored up, whose are they really?" And Psalm 24 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." And if you were the Lord, some of your children were starving, and you had others of your children who were stockpiling resources for themselves, wouldn't you have a little opinion about that? Jesus certainly did. The direction of God's vision is ever outward. This entire book is the story of God's outward efforts, chasing after his children, wanting the very best for them, giving, 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 to the point of giving life itself. And this major fact about the nature of our God brings us to another motivator for our giving, because we're created in God's image. So it's how we are actually wired. You are designed to give. You were created to share and to offer that outward vision for the cares of your neighbor. St. Augustine once said, "God gave us people to love and things to use. And sin, in short, is when we confuse those two things." Well, given this list of motivators for giving, not the least of which it's how we are wired, giving should be no problem for us, right? It should be easily done. Unfortunately, that's not the way it is. That we are faced with a challenge to our giving. There is one big reason for that challenge, too. And that reason is this: the world around us. 24/7, we are bombarded with a two-point message. And the first message is, here's what you lack. And the second message is, and here's what you need to buy or do or have in order to fix it. Maybe it's significant that the people in Tungamalinga don't have televisions, and they don't have billboards, and they don't have flyers in their mail every other day with the latest Bed Bath & Beyond coupon. We're not so lucky. And over time, that message of here's what you lack, here's what you're missing out on, here's what you don't have, can change our minds, conform what we think of the world, and we start to have this view of scarcity. And when we have a scarcity mindset, we easily hunker inward, protecting ourselves, protecting what we have to offer. We draw lines around our lives, limiting how much of ourselves that we're willing to give away, because we better pull it all in and hold it and protect it. And so we draw lines with our neighbors, and we draw lines with our community, and we draw lines with even our family and our time and our workplace, and most significantly, we draw lines with God. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends 70 followers out to go out and travel to towns around, spreading the good news of the kingdom of God. And he gives them this one instruction: don't take anything with you. Don't take a purse, a wallet. Don't even take sandals. Now, imagine, I mean, those followers had to completely trust that God was going to provide whatever they needed. They were moving outward completely vulnerable, and yet having enough faith to be completely dependent on God. And that brings us to our final motivator for giving: faith. Our willingness to give of ourselves is actually a matter of faith. Because when we put ourselves out there, our time or our resources, we're letting go of that sense of scarcity that the world would want us to have, and instead we're embracing God's sense of abundance. And the craziest thing happens when we put ourselves out there. our faith deepens. It expands. We are actually blessed when we are a blessing. So we are all challenged today, all of us, me included. That line we draw in our lives as to what God can have, and here's what I'm going to hold on to myself, whether we're talking our time or our money, God wants us to push that line outward. Just a little even, if that's what it takes. Just move that line just a little bit so that it's maybe now 20 minutes a day for prayer and devotion. Or maybe it's that extra $5 a week in our offering. God's work in this world is something that we can help with, that pushing the line just a little bit. And as we move that line ever outward, please let me know if your faith doesn't deepen. If you don't start to think about God more often, sense God's presence in your life more regularly, start seeing a kingdom view of this world and feeling good, feeling joy for having now allowed God more space in your life. And when you feel that, then push that line some more. There are so many reasons for us to give, but the greatest one may surprise us, because it's really for our own well-being. It's for our own good. Amen.